Welcome back to Digesting Fargo, where we're tackling the FX series Fargo one episode at a time. For this podcast, we watch season four, episode six, Camp Elegance, and we're here to talk all about it and break that episode down. I'm Zach Brooks, and I am joined by the creepy DeBrell to my creepy Thurman, Aaron Brooks.
Yeah, these are intros are getting more and more creative as we're it's going along here.
Stretch, yeah. Yeah, I thought about, you know, like
we haven't been married before,
right? I thought about like Swanee and Swanee and Ethel, or Swanee and Zelmar, you know, because they played a big role in this, or maybe like Ant. I wanted to bring an Antoon because this is the big Antoon episode, but I couldn't think of a pair for Antoon.
Yeah, no, this works though. I think that I've kind of hit my, acceptance with my expectations for this season after this episode. I think I'll say that much.
I like it,
but I don't think I'm going to end up loving this season.
Well, this is really like this. So this one was called Camp Elegance. The episode before it, was that the one that was that was the birthplace of civilization. So I thought we had the one that was like the start of the war. But I feel like the war is in full effect now.
Yes. Yeah, it's definitely in full effect. Definitely there were certain very clear homages to Fargo, which they were like hitting you over the head with them almost. And that was like kind of different for me with this show. Usually I'm used to it being a little more subtle.
I didn't pick up on very many of those.
Mostly the shower. Mostly the shower.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that was just like really, I was like, yes, I've seen Fargo.
What movie is it where they roll somebody up in a rug? Or was that Breaking Bad?
I'm not sure. But I don't mean to sound like I'm negative. I don't expect this to reach the heights that these other seasons have reached for me.
Yeah,
I hate to say that.
Well, I'm kind of feeling that way just because this season is so different. It really feels like I'm watching a different show. It doesn't feel like I'm watching Fargo. And maybe that changes a little bit, but right now, you know, I just feel like I'm watching like a kind of like more woke version of Sopranos.
Well, this episode really felt that way. This episode literally felt like the guy with the members only jacket, where he ends up hanging himself at the end of the episode. And like, that's the only episode where you meet that guy. That's like the
not the guy in the finale with the members only jacket, but no, earlier in
who's
that
his
season.
Brother? Who's his brother? Who's taking revenge for him? That's the theory. Is that his brother's taking revenge for not letting him out of the family?
Right.
So, which makes complete sense. But
so you think that maps onto Antoon?
Yes, Antoon is the one who. Yeah. So Antoon is essentially the guy with the. So I assume maybe in a way this is because it just felt so clearly an homage to The Sopranos this episode. More so than the other episodes where it felt more like a Miller's Crossing episode of Fargo in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
But
I mean, we're even getting the New York, you know, we're getting people from New York getting involved like Sopranos. Mm-hmm. I definitely got the feel of Sopranos. I also felt like, you know, when Antoon is taking Satchel out to, you know, quote unquote, go for a drive. That reminded me of the different times when, you know, I don't want to spoil different things in Sopranos because I, for one, just recently watched Sopranos. But like, you know, different characters who were getting taken out for hits. The Pine Barrens episode specifically, I was getting flashes to beginning of Pine Barrens from that. And then the
Pine
area
Barrens,
where he takes it.
Yeah. Yeah, Pine Barrens is a really tough one not to get flashes from so many shows, though. That was just one of those episodes that after that happened, if a show's going to do those types of settings, it's going to have, and especially in this type of scenario, it's going to have to pay all of us.
Well, and it's I was feeling a lot like in Godfather that, take the gun, leave the cannoli, or leave the gun, take the cannoli.
Right.
You know, like when they take the guy out for the hit there, I was getting flashes to that, and I'm sure that's intentional.
So is this season trying a little bit too much to pay homage and wink and nod to so many different things and not be its own thing almost?
I mean, it's like the Bonnie and Bonnie element.
Like, it's just like, we get it. They're Bonnie and Bonnie. We get it. And they're my favorite characters, but it's like, again, it's like Bonnie, everything is a, a reference or an homage to another thing here.
It's what I like of Fargo, and I'm sure I've said this on other podcasts, is I like when Fargo is just like a crime that spirals out of control. One small thing spirals out of control. And this is more like misunderstandings spiral out of control. But I think that this war would have happened no matter what. Like this, it's not like Dr. Senator was killed, or even that that Donatella Fada was killed in the first episode. Like we haven't even really had like vengeance for that. Like the cannons, you know, vengeance for the cannons killing Donatella Fada. Like that hasn't really played a role, except the fact that the death of Donatella Fada was only in order to set up the brother feud between Gaetano and Giusto. So like, and we're not getting really like the poisoning coming back into play. Like it's just not tying in together. And we are only,
running out of time.
Yeah. So we still have 5 episodes left in the episode.
Here's the other thing though. We always talk about lengths of seasons, right? Mm-hmm. And how many shows can you think of with a season length of 11 episodes?
I don't know. Most are 13 or 8, I feel like.
That's what I'm saying. Like 11 is not a standard amount. Mm-hmm. 10 happens a lot as well. I believe most seasons of Fargo have been 10. You can probably look that up. I don't believe any seasons have been 11.
Well, we did get 2 episodes in they were 2 different episodes, but the first 2 episodes were in the same night.
Yeah, but I just wonder if they had to maybe, I know this show did have a few times where they had to return for reshoots and things. And I do remember, I believe at one point them reporting they needed to add an extra hour on. So it's like, I do feel a little bit of a ticking clock here as things are still being developed.
Oh, you sound like me during the dark days.
And yeah, I feel like we've kind of switched roles a little with this one. And you know, even earlier, a couple episodes ago, I was talking about how when I do a podcast show, I always love it. I still really like it. You know, even the stuff, and I know we're jumping all around, then we'll go into a little recap, but it's like the stuff with like Ethel Rita when she's like blowing out the candles, you see the ghost. Like, I like that stuff, but it's very, very, it's like
a totally different show. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. And like, I mean, I don't want them to completely lean into that. I don't need a Haunting of Hill House, Fly Man or something. But like, it's like they're showing it. It's being on. And I just like, is Ethel Rita haunted? And if so, like, how is that going to play a role? Like, and how is everything like going to play a role? And is it all just leading to Rabbi Milligan getting Mike Milligan's, or is this season just Mike Milligan's origin story? Really? Like, cause like I figured that out, and I feel like everybody else who knows anything about this show
could. Well, I mean, it still might not be. But yeah, I think, and that was, I did have some questions, and I think it's almost like I don't know if there's a ton to recap necessarily in this. I mean, I have like the least amount of notes on this episode, probably of any episode that we've watched. It's still a lot, but like,
yeah, I mean, we can go through like Gaetano's fake kill. We can go through that stuff.
Right. But I mean, like where, so the big question I had at the end is like, where are Rabbi Milligan and Satchel going? Are they just going to a safe house? Are they going to back to the cannons? I mean, you know, it seems like Rabbi has defected off of the Fadas. I mean, he shot Antoon. He's kind of crossed that line.
He shot another person at Antoon's house.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. Went yep. There. He put a gun up to Antoon's wife's face as well. Yep. So, you know, I'm curious where they're going. Do you have, and he told Satchel that he's going to give him a choice. He said, I never got the choice. I was a child soldier. And I thought that scene was really good. That whole scene when they get to what we find out is Camp Elegance, which was where Antoon was hiding out after he came to America after the war as a prisoner of war. And he tells that story and he talks about how he cooked his belt because he'd already eaten his shoes, which I guess would be like a very stale bacon, I guess is the closest comparison. But and then Antoon, you know, pulling the gun out on Satchel but not actually being able to pull the trigger. So where do you think Rabbi and Satchel are going?
I really just think that he's gonna give Satchel the choice to go back to his family, like the cannons, I should say. And he's going to make a choice to go with Rabbi, and maybe I just don't really know where they could go other than somehow they end up in Kansas City. because that's where Mike Milligan goes.
Well, they're in Kansas City right now.
I mean, like somehow they end up staying in Kansas City, I should say. Mm-hmm. Like, is what, like, because that's where,
I mean, maybe Mike Milligan's, that they go under. I just don't think, it seems the town is small enough that they couldn't like go under hiding.
It's just like maybe Rabbi ends up having the defectors from each family join together with him to create a new sort of, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
Like, and it was just like, I don't know if that was, I mean, I don't think that was that. I don't think we were meant to believe that Satchel was getting killed there. At least I didn't at all ever.
I mean, had I not heard your Mike Milligan theory, I might have thought that he was going to get killed. And I actually did think like, ooh, I wonder if he's actually going to pull the trigger. Although he was obviously very conflicted.
It was a very like aiming. Like, yeah. I just hate that in shows. I hate that because like,
and then at the last second, he gets shot by the person who's behind him. It's like, well, it's a good thing Rabbi didn't show up 30 seconds later.
Right, who got there and then knew exactly where to go. And like, it's like, yes, of course, Altoon, who's conflicted and like has no connection to this kid, is going to take him to his most prized possession spot to do it because his wife knows that's the only place he'd kill a child. Like, what? Yeah, like, it just, and just like, eh. Like, I'm waiting for like 2 minutes as he's like, I'm going to shoot you. And I'm a little jaded. I'm watching a lot of very dark, like Korean horror right now. So like where they don't care about killing children or women or anything.
Sure,
like
should kill
like
more kids.
But so like, maybe I'm just like a little bit jaded right now in what I'm watching anyways, but like, it just felt very showy and just very not Fargo to me. Honestly, it felt like, I don't know. Like, it felt like a later season of Dexter type of thing.
Yeah, so I don't think it was that bad, although I've never seen Dexter, but from what I hear.
No, it's not that bad. That was
Digesting Dexter, that'll be the next one.
Yeah, for the revival, I'd love to do that.
Yeah. You know, I thought, like, the introduction of Antoon in this episode, and he might have been in other episodes, I'm sure he was in the background, but I don't think we really knew his name until this.
Yeah.
And I did like that character. I like the arc that we saw for him. And I think there's going to be fallout from that. In both, you know, the last episode and this episode, we're having one of the prominent soldiers get killed in this war. So we had Dr. Senator die at the end of the last episode. And we don't even really pick up there at the end of this one. We pick up with Ethelreda returning home on her birthday. Now she's returning home after being intimidated by her principal into giving up where, Zelmar and Swanee were hiding out. Mm-hmm. And but that didn't end up or I guess she was intimidated by Deffy, not by her principal, but that didn't end up really paying off because the cannons got to them first, and then we see Wef coming home, and so we do get like the immediate fallout from that, but they're going to try to kill Wef, or at least kidnap Wef. Or no, sorry, they're not the ones that they go to kidnap Gaetano. Wef was kidnapped by somebody else in the Cannon family. And that's the scene you were talking about where he returns home and he's attacked by his shower curtain. Mm-hmm. I thought it was kind of weird that Wef, I know he's OCD, but he knocks a bunch of times on his own door for his own house before he returns home.
Yeah, he any room he enters, that's what he does.
Even if it's rooms that he owns.
Yep. It's OCD. It's quirky. It's, you know, it's this thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then so we get a great interaction between Loy and Wef, where Loy says, I'm not fighting a few Italians. I'm fighting 400 years of history.
And yeah. And this is...
compares the dolls. Yeah. I thought the dolls comparison, I thought, was really strong.
Yeah. Really, really strong. But this is one of my problems. I don't want a lot of Chris Rock monologues because when that happens, I am taken out of the show. I was fighting against it. I was the biggest defender, but I'm telling you, when he monologues, he turns into Chris Rock, the stand-up. And what he's saying is just like things that have already been said in some of the scenes, like especially the dinner scene. Like, I'm just like, it was like what Justo said the week before. It's like, we get it. Like, we get,
well, some of
these themes are really being hammered home. We get,
I mean, so like, both Chris Rock and Jason Schwartzman are really kind of playing against type in this show, or like at least casted against type, right? Like, I mean, you just watched Rushmore, right? The guy from the guy from Rushmore is a mafia boss, and Chris Rock, which I don't, I mean, what would you say Chris Rock is like best known for? Like, I mean, a stand up, but movie wise, you know, like
head of state, like, I don't know.
Yeah, you know, like it's not funny man Chris Rock playing the other head of us of a crime family. And I think with Giusto, it I buy it a little bit more with Chris Rock. His I think it's just that he's got like that high pitched voice, like
he's trying to be serious.
Yeah,
Giusto's not. Giusto is willing to be a parody in his own scenes where he's trying to demand respect. And there's like a levity to it. Chris Rock is like, no, 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 don't acknowledge that you've heard this voice on the commercial just before this scene.
That's true. Like, we were talking about that in between weeks. It's last week, especially, it was like you watch Fargo and then they have that iPhone ad with Chris Rock.
Yeah. Like, it's just like,
it's very strange.
Yeah. And it's, you know, these are again, things that Noah Hawley and everything were not exactly taking into account, but Noah Hawley was also working on a really crappy movie at the time of this season as well. That Lucy in the Skies movie.
Oh, I didn't remember. Lucy in Disguise?
Lucy in the Sky.
I think there's been a movie called Lucy in Disguise, which could be like a good play on Lucy in the Sky. I think I might need to make that, write that movie.
Yeah, maybe like the making of Lucy in the Sky. But so I think that it shows he's very divided in his attention here. What, and it
do you think that a different actor playing the Loy Cannon role might work better?
Yeah, and who that could be?
Eddie Murphy,
Lakeith Stanfield, someone like that. Yeah,
like he's a little young, though.
I mean, kind of like I feel like he can play aged up. Even like Brian Tyree. Fine, we'll go to Atlanta. His co-star Brian Tyree Henry. Like we'll go with him. Like I mean. It, when I hear these monologues by Chris Rock, I forget Chris Rock's character's name. I'm like, Chris Rock is playing a gangster right now.
Well, and Chris Rock is also small too, like physically. He's really not small. He's not physically imposing, right?
And they don't play that into his character at all.
Yeah,
like as him being like kind of like having to be more cunning because he's a pipsqueak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and maybe that'll, I don't know, maybe that will come together. The one thing that Fargo has done is it does bring a lot of seemingly unrelated things and weird weird inconsistencies
extrinsicity.
Just imagine that we said it you know together, like, you know, I'm most familiar with season three because I watched it the most recently, and I really like season three because it is kind of like one thing leads to it, like one small thing, one small misunderstanding leads to another misunderstanding, which just like everybody just gets in deeper and deeper over their head. And this is just playing out much more like a traditional, you know, gangs in New York or organized crime movie,
Boardwalk
where it's just
Empire,
kind of like one, you know, and one episode this team is making a move, and in the next episode this team is making a move, and we're just seeing like a chess game play out on screen, basically.
Yeah, also we're seeing, you know, like, I get it, Dr. Senator died, but we're not seeing any surprising deaths.
Okay, so let's go to the next scene, because this was almost a surprising death, right? So this is when Gaetano is playing opera music. Again, I do like that whenever they show him, he's got this like very big, bold, dramatic opera music playing in the background. And this time it was because he was playing it on the record player, but the last episode it was just playing in the background. And I just like that motif for him, because it adds like a gravity to his character that we don't have with the other characters.
So he's playing like the role the way I feel like Euron Greyjoy was intended on Game of Thrones. Like this, like just like gallivanting, like just big bad pirate guy who really is just like, you see in his eyes when this happens, like he's completely weak and shattered and like,
oh, that's a good comparison. I prefer Gaetano to Euron Greyjoy by a lot.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's the Euron Greyjoy character type done right,
yeah,
in my opinion. And yeah, like you see him like really panicking. He shoots his own guy, who that's going to end up getting blamed on somebody else. That's not going to be blamed on Gaetano.
Right.
He's fumbling with his bullets as he's loading the gun, and right behind him, you know.
Well, and he's even—I mean, so before this attack happens, he's locked in this house with Paolo, the guy. I don't know if that's his partner or the guy that's like his handler that's watching him, but he can't leave because Giusto is pissed that he killed Dr. Senator. But this is his—he's a prisoner of the Fadas before he's a prisoner of the cannons.
Mm-hmm.
So, Justo's pissed about Dr. Senator. He's locked them inside the house. Then we start seeing people running. Did you realize right away that that was Swanee and Zelmar that were running in to attack them?
No, not right away. But once
it's very small, because you see it from the perspective of the room where Gaetano is. But then once you started hearing the shots fire, you could see the lights coming through the vents. Mm-hmm. You knew they were being attacked. That was when it clicked for me. I was like, oh, this is what Loy Cannon hired them to do, or one of the things. Mm-hmm. And then Swanee shows up right behind, you know, so twice in this episode, we have a character showing up right behind somebody and shooting them. And I thought they killed Gaetano.
I did too. And I was really excited. And I was like, wow.
My jaw was down. My jaw was like down on the ground. I was like, oh my God.
Because it was the middle of an episode. Yeah. It was like, not, this isn't a, like, that would have been great to me, even though I'm sure they have something else. I was just like, she was like, he's still breathing. I was like, yeah, but you shot him in the head. Like, he's dead. Like,
yeah. That, so I guess they just shot, must have shot him in like the ear.
They,
like, I don't know.
Grazed him. I rewatched it. They just, like, she's such a good shot that she grazed him enough to knock him out unconscious, but not harm any bit of him to where it won't be anything but a cool scar, basically.
Yeah.
But it was the most effective grazing concussive gunshot, I guess. I don't know, with no blood.
I mean, so I was like very surprised, and I was excited that they would do something so bold in this episode. My one complaint was that I was like, well, there's a lot more we could see from Gaetano. This character has a lot more potential, and you know, Fargo is the type of show that will kill somebody before they finish their character story. So I guess that makes sense. But for this, I wasn't that upset. It did feel like a little bit of a cheat, but I wasn't that upset that Gaetano survived.
No, I wasn't either, but I would be okay having that frustration of, no, the person I didn't want to die died, who still had so much left, because there's so many other characters that have so much left also, that someone, that there's going to be several characters that get so much left off the plate, so to speak, I think. Mm-hmm. So if I don't know, I would have taken the bold middle of the episode move.
Well, and then let's not cut short that they did kill Dr. Senator in the last episode, and that was big death, but it was, like you're saying, the end of the episode kind of.
And it was like, of the people, to be honest, the way Dr. Senator was written in the first two episodes wasn't how he was the rest of the series. So he was like really funny, and like he was like quippy, and then he like turned into like Mr. Serious, like clearly a mentor who has to be killed in order to get Loy fully in.
Chess piece, really. I mean, these are all, everybody's just a chess piece in this season.
Cannon fodder.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's, we were told that right from the
beginning. Well, you called that, yeah. So
maybe I'm not, shouldn't complain about it.
Right, so then the next, thematic. The thing that I meant to say in the episode with, or the scene with Wef, where we got all into Loy's monologue there, but they do show that outside Deffy is watching everything go down in Wef's apartment.
Yeah, just to be like, oh, by the way, Deffy's here.
And that's all he does in the whole episode.
The whole episode is like, hey, Deffy's here. Yeah, like, because we have too much going on, and we decided to make a 45-minute episode.
I appreciate that it was not an hour and a half long episode this week. Those are very meaty. This was a nice, swift one. Both Deffy and Mayflower, and I guess and Etherita all not really doing a ton of this.
Two straight episodes of no Mayflower, pretty much.
Yeah.
She just had the little scene where she was talking to Dr. Harvard.
Yeah, that was a big scene. All right. Mm-hmm. So before we get there though, we do see Loy has Gaetano chained up. I wrote chained up like he's in Saw, and didn't even put together Chris Rock is in the Saw reboot that's coming out next week.
Yeah, Spiral.
Yeah. So he Gaetano does threaten Loy and says that he's gonna tear off your skin and eat your eyes. This foreshadowing for how Loy is going to get it,
which is a very Euron Greyjoy threat.
It's more of a Ramsay Bolton. He's going to flay you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, true.
Yeah.
The eating of the eyes. I feel like Euron literally like threatened someone saying he was going to eat their eyes.
I just watched The Birds last night for my other podcast, and there's a character whose eyes get pecked out, and so it was like last night I had a lot of things about people's eyes getting destroyed.
Oh, man.
If you have an eye thing, my night last night was not the night for you. all right. So then we get this meeting between So is this not Dr. Harvard that was meeting with Mayflower? I thought it was Dr.
Harvard. Oh, it was Dr. I was saying it, last week we had said the person okay. yelling, we thought maybe that was Dr. Harvard. That was right.
Well, they made it seem like it was.
Yeah.
So it's just some random guy who's screaming.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. And then Dr. Harvard got the letter from Ethel Rita where he held it very conveniently to where Mayflower could see it. She has Ethel Rita's diary. She's putting together that Ethel Rita snitched on her, and that's going to play a factor in that area.
Yep. Yeah. She notices the handwriting. That's how she knew it was Ethel Rita. I would imagine we're going to see more fallout between Mayflower and Ethel Rita in the next episode.
Yeah. Like, are they going to become unwilling partners at some point? Like, forced to be unwilling partners, I wonder.
Yeah. I just don't get how... I mean, they just don't tie in really with like they're so tangential to what we're seeing between the Cannons and the Fadas.
Yeah, I mean, Mayflower is so involved with Jousto and
sort of, yeah, but we haven't seen that in this episode
or the last episode.
And I mean, I guess technically she was the one who killed Donatello Fada, which maybe that comes back to, you know, with Gaetano finds out about that and that comes back to haunt Jousto.
And that's why they have to work together. Like Ethel Rita, and I don't know though. Yeah, I agree.
I mean, Ethel Rita is very inquisitive and is able to put things together. So maybe she's just like somebody who can solve one of these crimes.
Yeah, it could just be a Tweety, Sylvester the Cat situation.
Ooh,
yeah, Tom and Jerry.
Yeah. All right. So she convinces, she convinces Dr. Harvard that, you know, this is just a smear campaign against her. It's somebody who's jealous. She talks her way out of it, just like she did in the first episode when she talks her way out of or into getting the recommendation letter that she uses to keep her job in this. Mm-hmm. Now, Dr. Harvard tells her no more funerals. So at the end of this episode, we do see whoever this guy is finally die. Do you think she's going to hold up her end of the bargain and not go to the funeral? Or maybe she goes to the funeral and that's what brings her and Ethel Rita back together.
That could be too. I'm not sure. Like, I'm not really sure how her story is going to tie in at this mm-hmm. point.
Yeah.
All right. They've done nothing with her for two episodes.
Yeah. Then we finally get some Jousto, and he's meeting with Jobulo out of New York. And they find out Gaetano is missing. And the order down from New York, so New York all the way to Kansas City, is saying you need to make things right with your brother. So it seems like there's like confusion on if Gaetano is alive, if he's dead. I mean, Jester wants him to be dead, obviously. But
mm-hmm. Yeah, he's like, I'm going to try to, they said try to make things right. They didn't mm-hmm. say make things right.
Right. And by the end of the episode, his move, which I actually think was a very good move. I mean, it's immoral, but he wants to kill Satchel because he knows if he kills Satchel, then they're going to kill Gaetano and then mm-hmm. he'll have control of the family. So that's, you know, if we're talking about chess moves, that is a good chess move in this episode.
Yeah.
We come back from commercial break. We see Dr. Senator talking to Loy. Obviously this is a flashback. You know, I liked this flashback. I didn't really understand where it fits in. Because he talks about, you know, he's he just got his bell rung. So talking about the boxer who we see earlier in the episode, I was imagining when he talked about Sugar Ray Robinson. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure, was that boxer Lemuel or was that somebody else?
I thought it was someone else.
Okay. It might have been. Yeah, it's sometimes hard to tell who, like, which member of each family. Because, like, Antoon, for example, weren't really introduced to until this episode.
Yeah.
But he tells him that, you know, this will trigger World War III if you bring your kid back. If you bring Satchel back, it's going to trigger World War III. Yep. So getting some setup that these kids are so important to the dynamics between the families. Now, we do have, you know, when Loy comes back from this flashback, when he's in real time, he talks about it. He says, it's time to get my kid back. And he tells Wef that he wants to bring Satchel back, and he says this big Italian wedding they're having. He references the big Italian wedding. Now, we did find out that Jousto was engaged to one of the councilmen's or one of the aldermen's daughters. So that he's mm-hmm. he's a government official. I wonder if we're going to see that Italian wedding on the next episode.
Yeah,
or the finale. Maybe the finale is going to be the wedding.
The red wedding.
Yeah, exactly. I think we're going to get some sort of big development at this wedding. Big fallout.
That's a good call.
So Wef is really kind of in the middle between these two families. He's been kidnapped by the Cannons. He's still working for the Fadas. And, you know, it seems like Loy has thoroughly intimidated Wef to the point where he's going to do what he wants. So he goes to the Fada house to get Satchel to get him for Loy. And he's interrupted, and Giusto wants him back at the club, dead or alive, is what they said. Mm-hmm. And he says, now with Gaetano, it's war. So, yep. Giusto's meeting with Ebal. So we wondered in the last episode if Ebal had been killed. He had not been killed. He's still alive. Just still on the side of Giusto, though, not on the side of Gaetano. Mm-hmm. And Wef gets there, and Giusto is telling Gaetano that we need to get Gaetano back.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Calamita enters, Giusto tells him to speak American, mm-hmm. which is like, you know, just, he's an idiot basically.
Right.
But he distrusts Calamita. He's trying to figure out what he's, you know, cause Calamita has been on the side of Gaetano, not on the side of Giusto. And Giusto, I think this is really where he gets that plan in motion that, you know, it's better for him if Gaetano is killed. It's better for him if Gaetano is killed, not by his doing. So mm-hmm. he's going to have Antoon take Satchel for a drive. And this is where we get, you know, the rest of the episode. I think this was all really tense. I know that you weren't a huge fan of the end scene, mm-hmm. but I thought that it was like, it was just
well executed.
Yeah.
It was a personal preference.
Yeah. It was an exciting 20 minutes, I thought, of the,
yeah,
of the episode. Mm-hmm. And so when Antoon goes to the house to pick up Satchel, they have that, the kids are all watching like a Western show on TV. And I thought that worked really well, that Western playing in the background to just heighten the tension of that instead of music.
Yeah. No, that was a great call.
And then we see Giusto and Rabbi are meeting, and Giusto tells Rabbi he's back in the game, and tells him the kid's done. And this is, you know, the first mistake that Giusto makes, because he alerts Rabbi that Satchel is going to be killed. And then Rabbi goes and finds out the information from Antoon's wife and finds out where they are, and is able to save Satchel. So, and then the very ending of this episode, I thought was weird. So we see that man finally dying, and Nurse Mayflower is smiling. I don't know why we ended on that. Do you have any?
Yeah, I don't really know. They're just trying to set up Mayflower for a big episode and big upcoming. She's probably gonna be at the funeral. I think she probably played a role in that guy dying, and that was just their way of kind of confirming it. Mm-hmm. I think, but
I know. I guess she'll be at the funeral, and you know, if we have a wedding too. I mean, we have a couple more episodes, so maybe we have a big funeral in one episode, we have a big wedding in another.
Mm-hmm.
We have 5 episodes left, so
yeah.
Yeah, I think we'll see something with the funeral. We just need to get more Mayflower, Ethel, Rita, and really Daffy too. I mean, I don't know how you have Timothy Oliphant in this show, mm-hmm. and you just really like have not using him. No, and I don't know what role he's going to play. I mean, maybe he's just going to be the guy who fires the final shot to kill somebody in the finale, and they're just kind of setting that up. But
I don't know. It's I'm not sure. I mean, and we're running out of time.
Yeah, I feel the opposite. Over. I don't feel like we're running out of time at all. I feel like we have tons of time.
We're left. Still talking about setting things up, though, like things that I feel like should have been set up a few episodes ago. But
yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, so we do have one email from somebody. Before we get to that, let's go through and do our – we'll update the safety draft and just see if anybody – I don't think anybody had Antoon in our safety draft. So I have Rabbi Milligan, Satchel, almost lost him. Loy Cannon and Agent Wef, almost lost him on my safety draft. And you have Ethel Rita, Dr. Senator who's been killed, Swanee and Deffy. So far you are the only one who's lost somebody from your safety draft.
Yeah, I mean, I feel pretty good, I guess. Yeah.
At one point we talked about adding a character each episode to the safety draft. That would have been, we should have done that, but it's too late now.
Yeah. No, you gotta stick with your original squad.
Yeah. All right. And MVP for this episode, who are you giving it to?
That's a little bit tougher with this episode for me.
Fargo seasons 1 through 3.
So in honor of just my kind of my favorite character and her making the shot, I'll go with Swanee. I'll give her a MVP in a down season.
All right.
Not for the down season of the show. I mean, just a down season MVP race.
Yeah. I feel like this show is going to come back. I'm not too worried about it.
No, I'm not either. I'm really not. I guess I'm anxious to see where some of this is going a little more than usual with the show.
Yeah. It feels like a sweater with a million loose threads and we don't really know how they all connect. So
exactly. Yeah. But I'll give it to Swanee. She got the shot off and, you know, like, I think that is still one of my favorite scenes of the episode with Gaetano.
Yeah. That I had a great reaction to that. It sucks that they walked it back, but yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to give mine to somebody else who shot a gun this episode. So I'm going to give mine to Rabbi Milligan. He was able to act quickly, save Satchel, and he made a move. He's back in the game. That does make Rabbi Milligan the first one to get two MVP points on the season.
Swanee doesn't have two yet. That was her first.
So Ethelrita, Gaetano, Mayflower, Dr. Harvard, Thurman Smutney, Dr. Senator, Loy, and Swanee all have one.
Wow.
I thought about giving one to Justo also, because I think that is a good move. That was a good move. It just, he shouldn't have told Rabbi Milligan that what was happening.
Yeah.
Had he not told Rabbi Milligan, Satchel would have been killed. Well, maybe not, because Antoon did put his gun away, but.
Yeah, no, he clearly put his gun away also. I'm surprised Rabbi Milligan wasn't able to see that very clear. I'm not going to shoot him.
Well, he thought about it. Yeah, he was thinking about it.
It's a thought that counts.
Yeah. All right. So the next episode is called Layaway. Any thoughts on what that might refer to? We're always wrong on these predictions.
You know, some sort of investment maybe coming through. Maybe like something having to do with Loy and the individuals, the Kellermans, was it that he gave the guns to? Maybe that layaway coming back into count.
Yeah, I think we did. You're talking about that. That makes me think maybe about the money, the puke money. So Wef has that money now, I believe. That's the last we've seen of it.
And Loy was encouraging him to keep this episode too. So like when he brought it up, he's like, "Oh no, you keep that because it's leverage,
right?"
At this point, so.
Also, you know, maybe layaway refers to a body laying in the morgue. So could be that as well. All right. So we do have just one email and it doesn't relate to this episode. Let me see if we got any other feedback. And I don't think we did. Just this one email. So Rick Marshall wrote in and he said he had the same issue with the background sound getting intermittently louder for no reason on the last episode. And he watched the actual feed from FX online. He assumed it was due to some of the episodes not being finished pre-COVID and being having to edit it remotely. I just think this was something that fell through the cracks. Seems very sloppy to me, but I guess, I mean, it's interesting. Maybe it was on the FX side.
So. Yeah, I mean, bringing up like this production issues, the stagnated kind of the times they, I didn't really notice it too much, but yeah, I mean,
I didn't notice it this episode. So
that's
maybe
just
it was
like
just
a surprising lack of quality control. Right. For a show,
I think that's, I would guess that's on the FX side. Cause it's just a weird thing. I mean, you know, we have audio issues on this podcast and sometimes it's just a weird, you know, editing quirk. So, all right. Then he also continues. He said, I also had problems with the Dr. Senator death scene. As you pointed out, he knew exactly what was happening when he walked into the restaurant and saw who was there. So why not just pull out a gun and take a shot at Kalameda when the Italian wasn't expecting it and Gaetano is slobbering all over the sundae? I guess we'd probably never have seen Dr. handle a gun before. And maybe there was something I missed in an earlier episode where it was perhaps said that he doesn't carry a weapon. But given it was just one against two at that point, given that Senator must have known they were going to take him out, it just struck me as contrived the way it all played out with him just accepting his fate and doing nothing. It was as if Holly had decided he wanted to kill off Dr. Senator at this point, and he didn't really think through the most logical way to do it. I think this scene would have been a lot more effective if there was an in-story explanation for why Doctor didn't have the weapon with him for some reason, or at least didn't make an attempt to use it. So
yeah, that's a lot of this season feels very contrived. And while well executed, still feels contrived.
Yeah. Rick, I'll be interested if you have some similar complaints about this episode in particular that we just talked about, because I think we both had some contrived TV-ness of this episode.
I'm guns away. Now I'm shot.
Yeah. Although I don't know if Dr. Senator just walking in and shooting Cal. I mean, Dr. Senator seemed like he was very thoughtful and intentional with his actions. And I think maybe he did think about shooting them.
You would think he'd at least come with a backup.
Yeah, he would. I think he would have thought through the implications of killing Calamita when he goes in there. Maybe he did think about it and he decided it wasn't a good idea. Maybe he thought that the waitress could be killed in the crossfire. I think it's more, you know, that he just walked out and left himself vulnerable, I think is what's a little bit more damning. So,
yeah.
That's the only email we got. If you have feedback, definitely send it in digestingdarkpod@gmail.com. That is the email address from our, the dark days of this podcast, which I do like calling them the dark days, even though they weren't dark. They were nice. I mean, it was dark in the world, but the podcast, it wasn't dark. It was just the show dark. Definitely keep sending in your feedback on Twitter as well. I'm at Brooks ZA.
And I'm at Aaron JAY Brooks.
So yeah, we record these usually Mondays. Today we recorded it on Tuesday, but generally they're on Mondays after the episode. So watch the episode Sunday night or so, or early Monday, and then send in your feedback. Or if you have feedback on other episodes, of this podcast, you know, and whatever, it just gives us something to talk about basically. Mm-hmm. So, and we'll be back. If you are interested in the birds and you want to see more things about eyes getting pecked out, we are recording an episode about the birds on the Movie Ladder podcast tonight as well. Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds. And with that podcast, every week we talk about a movie, and then at the end of the episode we pick a movie that somehow connects to the birds. Do you have any good movies you can think of that connect to the birds?
No, not off the top of my head, but how about the movie, you know, Eight-Legged Freaks starring David Arquette?
I could see David Arquette being on Fargo.
Yeah, animals attacking a small town. Also, there's Bats, another 1990s horror classic. It's just Bats.
There's a movie called Bats?
I'm pretty sure it's just called Bats.
I've never heard of Bats.
And yeah, if I remember walking by
1999, Luis Murnau. Starring Lou Diamond Phillips. All right.
Yes, that is my recommendation. And I believe that is a very subtle homage to birds. Instead of birds, they use bats. Do you get it? Instead of birds, they use bats. Changes everything. There's lots of cave
scenes. It's like Birdman versus Batman.
Yeah, so Bats, 1999's Lou Diamond Phillips starring. I don't know who directed it, but
Luis Murnau. Directed such films as The Hitcher 3. Or no, sorry, The Hitcher 2.
3 was trash.
Soulja Boys, Joyride 2, and Werewolf, The Beast Among Us.
So he doesn't get the first crappy horror movies. He gets the sequels that no one knows. So he's a very indie.
Yeah.
Bats, I believe, was his best box office success. It does about seem that way. $3 million.
It is streaming on Amazon Prime if anybody wants to watch Bats.
Everything's streaming on Amazon Prime. It's amazing how many things are.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I will say that the birds did remind me, and I guess we're talking about the birds a little bit now, but the birds did remind me a lot of The Mist in ways.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
So. That sounds unappealing.
Yeah. So anyways, back to Fargo. The reason why I bring that up is because our first movie on the Movie Ladder podcast was the movie Fargo. So if you want to hear us talk about Fargo the movie, you can check out episode 1. Well, technically it's episode 3, but the first movie that we review on Movie Ladder podcast was Fargo. And we'll be back every week. Do you have any interesting podcasts coming up this week that you're doing? Bly Manor already or not?
So we already did Bly Manor, so that is over on Sabrina Ramirez's channel. We talked about it for about 2 hours. So if you're familiar with the Schmodown, she's a Schmodown personality. If you're not, she's a really good film critic that's kind of up and coming, and look for more from her. But yeah, it was a really fun conversation as always with her. We've gotten to do a few Netflix properties now. We got to do I'm Thinking of Ending Things as well. But yeah, besides that, not much coming up. I do have a really important interview on Thursday, and that's Thursday the 29th of October at 8 p.m. Eastern time. it is a mixed martial arts interview, but even if you're not into the sport, I think it would be one worth checking out. It's with somebody who I went to college with. His brother is a fighter who ended up, they found stenosis in the left side of his brain 4 days before his UFC debut 2 years ago. So, which means like lack of blood flow to the left side of his brain.
Oh, geez.
And so he had to go into emergency surgery. His UFC career basically was cut. They're like, you're never going to fight again. 2 years later, he's getting ready to fight on Dana White's Contender Series. So long story short, this guy's had a huge, huge brain injury. He's come back from it. So I'm going to be interviewing him on Thursday, October 29th at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time through Facebook or through YouTube on Fight Bananas. So if you want to check me out there, that is where I suggest. But I'm really excited about that interview. Besides
That sounds really interesting.
I'm really excited.
So yeah, as a reminder, you can follow me at Brooks ZA. He's at Aaron JAY Brooks. So we'll tweet out all that stuff. If you've listened to this extra long epilogue for Digesting Fargo, but if you're just interested in Fargo, we will be back next week to talk about season 4, episode 7, Layaway, and we'll find out what is laying away in Fargo or in Kansas City. So All right. Thanks for joining. Don't forget to send that feedback in, and we'll talk to you next week.
See ya.